Hello, everybody. Welcome to Cow Daily. Starting out a bit sooner today. Martin's due along in a bit. He's just been in touch, so he is coming. I just thought what I'd do is beforehand is make this like a one piece, because I've made a few different bits of content this week, and I want to just put a scene setter here. So, Gated Council is facing a significant budget shortfall for the financial year 2024-25. They have a funding gap of 27.1 million and need to make savings of approximately 49.5 million over the next 5 years. The council has already made 207.5 million in budget cuts since 2010. So regarding sport and leisure, and it's important that we set the scene on this one, specifically Gated Stadium, the council has been considering various options. They've been seeking to make their leisure services self-sustaining and have explored contract now to a private operator to manage the stadium. The stadium has cost the council 4.2 million over the last 5 years and is projected to need 4 million repairs over the next decade. 2 seconds, let's get rid of this cushion underneath us. If the council would allocate additional funds to the stadium, it would have to ensure that this does not affect the provision of statutory services which are legally required. Overspend on non-statutory areas like leisure services could potentially lead to an illegal budget if that means statutory services are underfunded. So statutory services are things like health, social care, things of that nature, bins, potholes, roads, all of that type of stuff. Now, I'll say this from the jump, and people who've been following for a while know Martin and I are politically quite different. But today, I'd really like this to be a possibility for us to open a positive and constructive dialogue. This isn't about me. This is about fans' questions. So wherever possible, I'll be getting out of the way. Got a load of questions from fans that you want to ask Martin directly. And that's why I've worked this week to try and set this up so we can give people a right to reply. I get it. I'm a fan too. And I'm livid. But I'm here to do a job. I'm here to do a job and give Martin his say. And also in terms of that, so hopefully us as a fan base can get some clarity as to what's going on. So you'll be able to react in the comments. I'm going to ask you, Martin's got a family. And look, at the end of the day, he doesn't have to be here, does he? And it was him and his team who reached out to me. So regardless of political differences, I respect that. I respect the fact that he's been willing to come up and answer questions. So that's why I've agreed to it. So that's the crack, really. That's the summing up. I'll see if I've got any more detail for you on the council. So next one. To enable spending on the stadium without compromising statutory services, the council would need to identify areas where savings can be made. This could involve further cuts to non-essential services, increasing efficiency, or finding alternative revenue sources. However, given the current financial constraints and the need for savings, any additional spend on the stadium would require careful consideration to avoid financial impropriety. So in summary, where there's a desire to support sport and leisure facilities like Gated Stadium, council must balance this with the needs to maintain statutory services and address budget shortfall. So statutory, for people who don't know, like as I say, it's a legal requirement that they have to deliver those. Any decision to fund the stadium must be weighed against the potential impact on essential services and the overall financial health of the council. Whether I like it or not, and I don't, that's the situation they're in. And the reason that they're in, as I explained on a show earlier this week, the Tory government since 2010 have slashed the block grant by about 60%. Here's Martin. I'll just bring him in. Martin, hello. I will say we are on there. Are you there? Hello.
Hello, can you hear me?
You're there. I can hear you. Yeah, you're the right way around. You're up down there. How are you doing?
I'm all right, thank you. Can you see us and hear us?
I can see and hear you, no bother.
All right, okay.
I was just doing a little summing up there, Martin, just setting the scene on what the council's situation is budgetary-wise, because as you've seen, I did a little video earlier in the week, which you've seen, and obviously I'd like to think I've done you justice, and I've also set the scene. We're quite politically different, but I do respect the fact that you reached out, you got in touch, and you wanted to answer fans' questions, so thanks for that. Is there anything you want to add at this point?
No, actually, if I have to be absolutely honest with you, Mike, it is Mike, isn't it?
Mm.
It is. Milk the cow, right? Okay. When I watched it, because John Eagle sent it to us,
oh, yeah.
I'm genuinely was very impressed. I thought, to be fair, your figures were, I quote from our last medium-term financial strategy, £179 million. Actually, your figures were more up to date. So I was very impressed. Yeah.
Well, as we spoke privately, I think truth's important, you know?
Yeah.
And that's what I hope that this can be done in the spirit of and building a good faith relationship with the fans, Martin. Because you know yourself, there's a lot flying around. Scapegoats are being established. So again, thanks for coming on. But no, I appreciate that you're doing this on a Saturday and so am I, mate. So we'll go straight to fans' questions, shall we? Because we want to get them answered,
How long is it, by the way, we're going to be on?
How long have you got, really? I mean, normally we'll look around 30 to 40 minutes, but obviously, you know.
That's all right.
Give you basically, it's your chance to answer the fans.
Yeah.
This will not be edited. It's going out as it is. And as I say, it's in the spirit of, like, trying to come up with some kind of like conclusion that's positive for everybody.
Okay.
So this is from Mal McLean. Whilst it's possible to see who has conducted the stakeholder consultations and prepared reports for Cabinet, who at the local authorities been conducting the discussions with the AFL National League regarding the 10-year lease and how has this been fed back to the club?
Well, the day-to-day operation of the discussions, of course, would be held with officers of the council. I'm not an executive officer of the council. I'm a councillor. We make political decisions, set the strategy and policy of the council. But the day-to-day discussions between the football club and the council would be conducted by the officers of the council. I mean, the officer who's the director, head of service, is Michael Lamb, who would be dealing with those day to day,
Okay, so like it's a clear distinction between there's council officers and there's councillors. And like from obviously you'd even know, but I used to work as a consultant with local authorities, so I'll explain it for you if you want.
Yeah.
Basically the way it works is councillors provide scrutiny, the sign off decisions, and also work with council officers to implement those decisions. Would that be a fair assessment?
Yeah, absolutely. And there have been two or three occasions, I have to say, when I've met directly myself personally with officers of the club. You know, Neil Pinkerton, the chair, Sonia, the club secretary, and obviously I've had discussions as well with Bernard Matt Williams, who I know personally. Okay. Yeah. And there was a discussion in terms of, you know, this issue about a side letter to support the application to the English Football League. And I was involved in those discussions. And I mean, I'd like to think it was partly at my insistence that we provided that support and that.
Okay. Got you. Right. That's that first question. So let's move on to the next one. I think there's just to let you know, I think there's about 10 to 12 different slides with questions on, just so you know. So Phil Blakeburn, and just for people who don't know, these were all crowdsourced by the Heed Army podcast Facebook group. So with the tenure issues the club are now having to face up to because of the council, could the council offer land suitable to build and relocate to aid in the future development of the club? What would the losses of the Gateshead Stadium be without Gateshead FC present?
Right, two points. I mean, there have been in previous years discussions between the club and the council about a new stadium. If you go way back to the days of Graham Wood, there was a proposal at the time to build a stadium just opposite the Civic Centre. And that actually would have helped with the sustainability of the club because they would have had tenants inside of that building. And for whatever reasons, that didn't take place. If the club wanted to develop their own stadium elsewhere, purpose-built football stadium, because, you know, an athletic stadium isn't necessarily the ideal location for a football club, But you know, of course, the council would assist in that. And if we could secure partners and investment to do that, we would provide all of that support,
No worries. Martin, can I just interject? Yeah. It's just something that's quite salient at this point. Just a good example from our league is Dawkins Meadowbank Stadium. Yeah. And here's some of the funders of it. Obviously, Mole Valley District Council, $8 million. Surrey County Football Association provided $1 million contribution. Sport England provided a grant. Just as an aside from me, has there been any exploration to date, say in the last two or three years regarding any kind of stadium like this?
Not to my knowledge. Okay. Those discussions may be taking place, but it's not to my knowledge. Okay. The second part of that question, though, was was about how, you know, what would be the position be financially for the stadium if we didn't have the football club? I mean, that's a, you know, the report that went to Cabinet of the Council last November or December, I can't remember, which was a report into the future of the stadium. Remember, at that time, the council was under a lot of pressure because of issues related to leisure centres, potential closure of leisure centres. And some parties were urging that what we should do was close the stadium rather than, say, Gateshead Leisure Centre. Okay. The report in November last year showed that the stadium, the deficit on the stadium, is about £860,000 a year. Now, you know, that's not sustainable, okay? You know, for reasons that you've already outlined, you know, the council has to prioritise its resources to provide the statutory services because of austerity. You know, the situation with the football club, of course, in terms of finances to the council is pretty complex. You know, we have a history, if you like, and this is not disparaging the club, but through several ownerships, actually the council hasn't received an income from the club. Okay. We've written off debts repeatedly from the previous owners, and also when the present owners came in, we wrote off historic debt. Also, there were issues last year with non-payment, which resulted in the cancellation of the existing, there was a five-year license on the stadium, which was cancelled in June last year because of non-payment. Right. The financial position for the council, I'd have to say, is not advantageous in terms of the club. We have support. I mean, for a further example I'd give is that last year, you know, fans will be aware that there was issues to do with the floodlighting at the stadium. Considerable pressure, because the fact is that the club would not have been able to complete its fixtures through last season. And as a consequence of that, the council had to invest, I think it was £670,000 in new floodlighting for the stadium at a time when the future of the stadium was far from certain. So
I understand that, but you do have a lease agreement, and you do need to provide like a safe and usable facility. Yeah. So it's not like, you know, it's not like, you know, you're doing we're a favor on that. However, with fairness, you've done we're a favor on other things. So let's be balanced about it.
All right. Yeah.
Right. We'll move on to the next question. Let's pull it up for you. Mervyn Ironside. I haven't confirmed whether he's related to Bjorn Ironside, the Viking, yet. I'll ask him. Anyway, morning. Is the council only selling the stadium rather than the land? As I presume, Gated College would be impacted in any land sale. And how much effect would this have on any future negotiations with prospective buyers?
Right. Well, the intention is not to sell the stadium.
Right.
The stadium currently runs at a deficit of £860,000 a year. The council can't sustain that. What we're looking for is for a partner, now whether that's a not-for-profit or a community organisation, the football club itself, the college and the football club and other partners. The intention is to procure a partner to operate the stadium. There are a number of reasons why another organisation running the stadium can sort out the problems. You know, there are issues in terms of, you know, if it's a charitable organisation or a community-based organisation, it means that there are tax concessions, breaks and opportunities for investment that the council doesn't have access to. So the cost can be drastically reduced. But the intention is not for the council to sell the stadium. What we would do is come to a community asset transfer or some kind of, it would be transferred on a peppercorn rent, but the stadium would still belong to the council. It would just be run by a different operator.
I think that's good to clarify that an operator under this is like, you know, the council own it. you commission somebody to operate on your behalf and they decide on profit and that kind of thing. And also, I think this is like, it speaks to the 10-year agreement. Just on that, and we'll probably touch on that, but like, I want to touch on that myself here. You offered that, but it was with a caveat. Is that right?
Yeah, so that's
can you explain what that is?
Right. Okay. The requirement of the English Football League is that there is a 10-year license. Okay. Now, in the present for two reasons, effectively, one was that we couldn't agree to an unqualified 10-year license. Okay. First point, of course, is that we're in the middle of a procurement exercise to acquire a new operator. So this time next year, hopefully, fingers crossed, we have a new operator and the council is no longer operating the stadium. Mm-hmm. So we put a clause in for a break next year and a supporting letter explaining that to the English Football League. Okay. A number of questions which I've seen online as well, you know, why didn't the council just assign this as part of the ongoing agreement with the new operator? And the issue there, of course, is that, you know, I'm absolutely confident we will get a new operator. There are already discussions taking place and those are going very positively. That will happen, okay? However, if the council does not secure a new operator, you've got to consider that, okay? That we are running a stadium which has an operating deficit of £860,000 a year. So if we were to sign an unconditional license with the football club now, what we're doing is we are committing ourselves, the council, to an operating deficit over the next 10 years of £8.6 million. Now, if, and this, I mean, we have no intention of wanting to close the stadium, okay? That's for the college and for the football club and for the people of Gateshead. But if, in the worst possible scenario, we found ourselves in a position where we cannot find an operator and we can't sustain that £8.6 million deficit over the next 10 years, and we'd signed an agreement with the football club, we'd have to buy the football club out of that agreement. So, you know, that's the legal arguments behind that are complex, but that's the position.
I'll just cut in at this point. As a fan, I want to play a war with you and all of this stuff, but it's not going to help. And to be honest with you, I know enough about this stuff to not have any real basis to do that at this point, Martin, unless I find out something else. And that pains us to say it, to be honest. But like, I believe in fairness. And look, at the end of the day, I understand the budget. I've worked on this, like, outside of the media stuff I do, on community asset transfers as well. So just on that, you've said you would be open to exploring a community asset transfer, yes?
Yeah, well, there is a lot, as you understand, you've worked in this business, okay? There is a live procurement process which we're in the middle of at the present time. Now, you know, what I would say is that the council is prepared to consider every single possible option, notwithstanding the fact that we have to be careful that we don't breach procurement law and regulation. I mean, if we would, you know, there are organisations out there at the present time who are spending money and submitting, you know, in a process that was open and transparent, that if we were to some way disadvantage them in that process, then they would have legal action against the council. But yes, we're prepared to consider every option.
Are there NDAs on that? Can you tell us who these other operators are, or is that like covered by non-disclosure agreements?
I don't know if there's non-disclosure agreements, but the honest answer to the question is I don't know personally the names of the people who are making inquiries. Okay.
All right. No worries, mate. All right. Let's move on then. One from Mervyn's. So Ken Richardson, because the status of the site as a licensed contamination facility requires the council to act as a statutory regulator, will the council always have to own the site without selling and therefore always be looking for an outside body to run operations?
Well, I'm sorry, I don't know the issues about the contamination. Okay. Yes, most of that land all the way along the East Riverbank, East Riverside Park in Gateshead, is heavily contaminated land. There was chemicals, lead works, all kinds of things along the riverbanks there. The land was reclaimed. It was capped with clay. So there's limitations on what can be built there. That's as much as I know about that. I'm not expert in the field. However, there is no, as I've already said, there's no intention of the council to sell the site. We don't have, you know, I read some of the stuff online in terms of conspiracy theories there. It's all about the council selling the land and, you know, having redevelopment along there with yuppie houses or whatever it might be. Okay, there is no intention of the council to sell the stadium. The plan is to get an operator to run the stadium, to run it as a commercial entity with the tax and grant advantages that would come with that that the council doesn't have. Yeah.
So just on that, I mean, I was quite surprised at how much land the council actually owns on that site. It's massive. There's a lot of acres. Look, on that, is the potential for the council to earmark a brownfield site for a new stadium development, say the Dorkin model? Everybody works together to try and bring in funding, and would the council like basically donate some land? You know what I'm getting at. Is there possibilities for that in a partnership agreement?
In principle, I don't have a problem with that. Okay, you know, in an ideal world, Gateshead Football Club, community owned, would have its own stadium with tenants inside of it that would generate an income that would sustain the club. I can remember having a conversation with Graham Woods many, many years ago when he made the team full time. And he was effectively personally financing that himself. And at the time I was told it was something like about £500,000 a year of his own personal finance going into the club. And the idea of the stadium, of course, was that when he proposed that as a new stadium, was that that would generate an income that would sustain the club without having him personally having to put in £500,000 a year. That was the basis of that.
Yeah, that was the thing. And I think for people who are maybe new fans that don't know the history of that, we were very close to getting a new stadium. Yeah. And it was the NHS because, and again, I've said this in the show that I did, the long shadow of austerity. It's because of the austerity from 2010. And if it was a year earlier, that would have went through. But the NHS had to pull out because of funding. Yeah. So, you know, it's like it was on the cards. So I think what's good about this situation, it's brought it all to light, hasn't it? So, you know, if there's any positives to come out, and as I've said from the top of the show and other things I've produced this week since it's happened, we're going to get an out from recriminations. At the end of the day, my fan head wants to go kicking off on this show, but like, it's not going to work. And at the end of the day, I do believe you could do a bit more, but I also understand, to your credit, your hands are a bit tied because austerity is a reality, and that comes from block grants from central government.
What I would say, Mike, I mean, I'm prepared. I'm a local councillor. Okay, that's what I am. Okay, I'm the leader of the council. I live in Gateshead. My family live in Gateshead. Okay, I care about Gateshead.
Are you still there? Hopefully Martin will come back soon. I'll just keep talking. Hopefully he'll get back in. I'll try.
I was going to say, I'm happy to sit down. I'm happy to sit down with anybody and with fans, okay, with anybody to look at. You made the statement, you could have done a bit more. I'm happy to talk about what a bit more might be. What can we do? All right, okay.
Fantastic. Now, I think that's what I want from this, some kind of like working group to come out of it involving any particular stakeholders with an interest, and we just set all the politics and everything else to the side and just draw a line under the past and try and build for the future. Yeah. That's what I want, because as I keep saying, the recriminations and everything are not going to help with that, but all of the emotion is valid. I mean, how at the end of the day, well, I cock a hoop on Saturday night, and Sunday morning was the worst hangover ever for thousands of people. So, you know, it was a valid expression of emotion this week from people. But what I'd like to do going into the second week is, you know, let's keep this conversation going and try and get a meeting sorted and see what we can do about this, you know.
Can I just say, Mike, I would see things differently to others, I suppose, okay, in so much as I know what the council has done. I know the background of the council in terms of working with the club through various iterations of management, okay, and ownership. In terms of the discussions that's been held over recent months about trying to satisfy the qualification of the English Football League and the letters that were put in, the discussions that we've had with the club. My perspective is that if there's a villain in this, it's the English Football League. The rules of the English Football League, you know, there's mountains and mountains and mountains of paperwork and protests and campaigns that's gone on for years, is incredibly restrictive and mitigates again.
I'll just keep talking. I don't know, Martin, if you can hear me, your internet's going down a little bit. So I'll just keep talking. I think like last time you'll come back. Right.
Sorry, that wasn't me. Okay, yeah. I'm blaming the Football League. That's what I'm doing.
No worries. Well, strange enough, this next question is about the EFL. So are the council in a position to confirm that the club's licence will comply for EFL promotion next season?
Sorry?
Do you want us to repeat that again? No worries. Right. Are the council in a position to confirm that the club's licence will comply for EFL promotion next season? So promotion to the Football League from the National League.
Right. This is, I mean, that's a really, really important question, because clearly got a really good team, really good set of players who, you know, they want to play for promotion. That's the name of the game. It's the top priority. So we need those players to re-sign for the club and play their hearts out for the club. You know, I am confident, right, that we will secure a new partner, and that by this time in the summer, we'll know exactly what that position will be, and we'll be able to secure an agreement that will satisfy the English Football League. If you ask me as the council now, today, to sign a 10-year unconditional license with a football club, I'm sorry, I won't do it. We won't do it, because it would. We need... What happens if we don't secure that operator, okay? So I'm confident we will be in a position by this summer where we will be able to satisfy the requirements of the English Football League.
Okay. I mean, there's two things for me on that. One's from a playing perspective. You say you want the players to sign. Times of the essence, as you know, because you know, at our level, we've got 1-2 year contracts and then free agents, and our model's based on ability to like sell on, like Macaulay Langstaff, etc. So there's that side of it. Also, in terms of the promotion itself, is there anywhere in the council budget, for example, if I was to put a forensic accountant on the council's budget, would they find savings that you could then give to this or any future stadium or things like that?
Right. You don't need to put a forensic accountant in, because the accounts are published and that can quite openly.
Well, I understand that, you're saying to me, based on that budget, that there's nothing you can do. So I'm saying, if I got a specialist in, what would they say the same?
Yes.
Okay. The answer to that. Good. Okay. No problem. Let's move on then.
I mean, the revenue budget of the council this year that we've just gone into was £306 million, okay? And the only way we were able to put that forward as a lawful budget, given that there's only three sources of income the council has: grant from government, which has been cut by nearly 70%, council tax, which has gone up year on year, but 1% rise in council tax raises £1 million, and we've lost over £200 million, and fees and charges, okay? £306 million. We have £80 million of reserves, £80 million of reserves, roughly. We used £20 million of them last year, and we're using £7 million of them this year. They run out. You can only spend them once. Mm-hmm. And over the next 5 years, growth in adult social care costs, because there's more people living longer, the rise in social care costs is nearly £60 million. So, you know, Gateshead isn't, you know, there's lots of councils around the country going bankrupt.
Yes, and I covered that earlier in the week.
And there's the Local Government Association, which maintains a watch list and support for local authorities. They have a watch list of about 50 that's on the cusp of going bankrupt. Gateshead's not on that list. We're not on that list, but there's a you know, the so we're not about to go back. And the reason why we're not going bankrupt, of course, is because we're making really difficult decisions. We closed two leisure centres last year.
Let me put something to you.
Yeah, go on.
Let me put something to you, right?
Yeah.
It's when Chesterfield go up, right? And it's about like the job creation and everything. Could you invest from some of the reserves based on this? So when Chesterfield secure promotion to the National League, to League Two, town and business benefit from increased tourism, match day spend and brand exposure and job creation. Well, exact figures vary. The impact on the local economy is significant. Yeah. So on promotion from the National League to the EFL, a club can expect substantial financial growth, prize money, television deals, match day revenue. Wrexham, who went up last season, got $1 million in prize money and 225,000 from some streaming services. So that's the club. But also, as we've seen, the Gateshead itself as a place is going to benefit.
Yeah.
Would you invest on that basis?
Yeah, I would certainly be willing to have those discussions. Okay, you're absolutely right. I'm a genuine believer, right? Okay, you know, you have difficulty borrowing money to sustain ongoing revenue spending is disastrous. However, borrowing money to invest is a completely different kettle of fish. For example, I mean, the Keys development, you know, £400 million development, £200 million of private sector funding, government, various grants, but ultimately Gateshead Council is going to borrow money to finance that. And it's on the basis of the increased income, rental incomes, people being employed, so therefore they're paying taxes, they're not draining on services, okay? So I'm absolutely, completely politically on board with you. Sit down, you have the discussion. Investing in the future is really important. Right?
I mean, we have models in the league of this happening, Dortmund just one of them. Yeah. And it, like, you know, I'm trying to get the actual like report of how it impacts a local area like Gateshead. Yeah. And I think economically, if there's a case to be made, it's a no-brainer, as you would, I'm sure you would agree as the leader of Gateshead Council.
Yeah.
So anyway, we want to get through as many fans' questions and you've been very generous with your time. So we're going to do that. So these two are quite similar. One's from Nick and one's from Lawrence. Doesn't understand how the stadium loses as much money as they're stating. Lawrence says, I would ask because the stadium's losing year on year, what are the council promotion staff doing? There is never any events booked for the stadium. So, yeah, why is the it's kind of in line with what we're talking about. Why is that events offer not happening?
Right, okay. Two things. You know, I'm not personally in a position to give you the breakdown of the costs of the stadium. However, Mike, you, committee, grouping, whatever, is more than welcome to come in and discuss with officers of the council precisely what the breakdown of the costs of the stadium are. You know, it runs, you know, I'm not making this up, it's not, I'm not hiding money somewhere. It loses £680,000 a year.
Do you have any event staff left? Because I know you've had to like lay off a load of people.
No.
So it's basically isn't it, Martin? You don't have the staff because you've had to lay them off.
Yeah, in the very, very, very first years of austerity, which was 2011 and 12, the first people that went effectively were the event staff. Okay,
Event staff, that kind of thing.
You know, we used to have 16 libraries. We now have 5. We used to run community centres. You know, think about the dozens and dozens and dozens of community centres across Gateshead. We don't have any longer. Youth services. We used to have world class youth services. Working with young people, youth clubs, outreach workers. None of that exists anymore. It's gone. Okay.
Yeah. And I mean, again, like, dead easy to blame the council and all of that stuff. It's shorthand for it, isn't it? But as I say, fairness is important. So, you know, I do think on a national level, though, the Labour Party have provided very little opposition to austerity. And, you know, for fairness, that needs to be said. Apart from when your pal Corbyn was in between 15 and 19. Other than that.
Okay, right. Well,
we'll leave it there, shall we?
I'm not here to make political points, honestly, genuinely.
Look, I mean, we're not doing that, man. We're just having a laugh, man, are we?
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, Dex Simpson, why is there no longer revenue-raising activity stage at the stadium? So obviously we've said that, you know.
Yeah.
Right, so Heidi says, why didn't the council work with the club to communicate this lease issue with the fans before the end of the season, i.e. in March? Fans would have preferred to know the truth back then. Yes, they would have been angry, but the council and the club let the season play out, knowing all along the situation it would find itself in. the fans have been massively let down by your concerned. So what's your response? Is that true for a start?
I mean, the council doesn't run the football club, okay? The council runs the stadium, and that all of the issues related to the future of the stadium is a matter of public record. It was discussed by the cabinet in November last year. The report is a public document. The fact that we're on a procurement process to get a new operator is all public knowledge. Mm-hmm. I can't say more than that in terms of the council's responsibility. Yeah.
So, okay, I understand. Right. Yeah. So, David Allen, and I mean, this could be a quick win for you here in terms of building mm-hmm. some goodwill. So, Dave's saying at the start of the season, the club installed two new washing machines behind the bar in the Mick Thornton suite so we could wash the plane and training kit and that in house. Before we even used them, the council unplumbed them and said we couldn't use them. They are still not in use, which makes my job so much harder having to drive to the lawn. If the council are genuinely trying to help, the club can replumb these machines back in and let us use them. Martin, I'm not asking you as the leader of the council to know the vagaries of like what's going on with wash machines at the stadium, but is it possible to have them plumbed in so we can like get this kit washed quicker? Because, you know, Dave's having a problem.
Okay. Well, I'll find out and come back to you, Mike. I do not know what the issue is there, whether it's, I don't know. Like,
okay, I wouldn't expect it as a leader of the council, but, you know, I've been asked to ask, and that's what we're doing.
Yeah.
So, right, Paul Scott, is the long-term goal actually run the stadium in the ground? I mean, you've already covered that. I mean, there will be the odd one as we go on where you've already covered it.
Yeah, all right.
Okay. You've said on camera that you're not selling the stadium. You want an operator. So, you know, well, I don't know what else he can say. So he goes on to say, given the fight, we've covered all that. So anyway, Michael Houston, Gates FC are not the only sports club to use the GIS. Do the council intend to work with all other interested parties who may wish to use the stadium? The person can't remember the last time there was an athletics meeting and they were regularly screened on TV. Can I just cut in at this point? I want to tell you something, right? I'm a Gateshead lad. I did the junior Great North run, right? And previous to me doing it, I was very young, maybe 10, 11. I'd seen Carl Lewis running in the stadium and I was running on the same lane at the end of the junior Great North run and I was buzzing. I was like playing football on Wembley. That's how it felt.
Yeah.
Why can we not? Like, you know, well, you've obviously made a commitment. We'll try and get a working group together. But it's not just about budgets. It's about young people dreaming. Like that made me love sport. And that was that's a local authority stadium. I mean, obviously, you know yourself, you don't want to run a council that has to be making cuts. You're a human being. I get it. But like, you know, these things are important for young people, aren't they? So how do we allow young people to dream in the borough?
Right. Gateshead Stadium is incredibly important to Gateshead. Okay. When you ran the Great North, Junior Great North Run, I was in the stadium in 1974, I think it was. Mm-hmm. I was still at school when Brendan Foster got the world record for the 3,000 metres. All those things, okay? But athletics in those days were ran by if you look at the tickets for the Gateshead Games, it says Gateshead Games, promoted by Brendan Foster, who of course was at that time the Director of Sports and Recreation, employed by Gateshead Council. We promoted the events ourselves. Brendan Foster went around the world speaking to international athletes who were his mates and got them to come and run at Gateshead Stadium. Athletics is completely different nowadays. It's a business. Diamond League events, okay? There are two a year run in the UK and they're run around the world. We had two Diamond League events in Gateshead in 1 year, 2 years ago, but that was only because London wouldn't do it. Mm-hmm. And because I think it was Rabat in Morocco couldn't do it during COVID. So they then came begging Gateshead to run those two Diamond League events. But other than that, they will not give us Diamond League events. So that's the reason why athletics doesn't take place in Gateshead any longer.
And is it because of the stadium and its like state of disrepair? Is that why?
Right. Well,
I remember the Diamond League when I was younger and I always thought it was like the side of the Trotters Independent Trader Van because it was like Paris, Zurich, Gateshead, you know. I just loved that, you know. In terms of promoting the borough, brilliant on a national stage, isn't it?
Yeah, I, you know, the it comes back to this issue again about capital investment. Okay, if you've got the events, if you've got a business model, the capital investment is a no-brainer. Of course it is. Needs a new roof, needs a new track, needs all kinds of additional investment. Okay, but then if you have the events and you have the justification and the economic case, of course you'll make the capital investment. One thing I would say is look around the UK at former municipal run athletic stadiums, Don Valley, Murrayfield, loads that are gone. Okay.
Yeah.
There's nothing between here and Birmingham. Birmingham has invested in what's it called? Alexander Park. I think that's what it's called. Okay. Because of the Commonwealth Games. And they're now going to get the European Games in Birmingham. But other than that, there's Gateshead International Stadium and the Olympic Park in London. That's it.
Yeah. That makes sense then. Right. So Alan Weddell, the business rates for the stadium appear to cost around $500,000 and make up for more than half the annual loss. Those would have to be taken on by any operator. If you say the council retains ownership, surely a community asset transfer is more sustainable as it could attract charitable relief. What is your view?
I do agree that, you know, a not-for-profit or community organisation has considerable advantages, in terms of tax relief, business rate relief, opportunity to bring in grant. It's a much more effective operating model for something like a stadium. In terms of business rate, it's a complex issue. Business rate isn't set by the council. It's non-domestic, it's national non-domestic business rate. It's set by the government. Mm-hmm. Gateshead Council collects it, but there's a top-up system. Do you know what I mean? Sort of local authorities that get larger amounts of business rate, it's redistributed. Gateshead gets a distribution off the national pot. So the £500,000, if the stadium was to close and we lost the £500,000business rate from it, it wouldn't necessarily disadvantage Gates. That makes sense because
I get you.
It's a top-up system, yeah.
I mean, that's it. I mean, from a budgetary perspective, isn't it? But obviously, we've already said we're going to commit to trying to work together to get something arranged. I'm going to make a prediction today because I'm a dreamer. Glass is always half full. Mm-hmm. We'll get a nice little stadium built like Dorking. We'll all work together and we'll get a Razor to come and sing a little respect, which is the Heat fans anthem as an opening concert. How does that sound?
Yeah, sounds great. I mean, one last thing that I missed in one of the questions there before, but are we looking at other sports organisations to come into the stadium? I know there are discussions taking place with what used to be Gateshead Thunder, which then became Newcastle Thunder. So, because the issues that they're having at the present time. So there is discussions.
This is interesting. Can I just cut in? Yeah. I did, as you saw the other day, Sheffield FC, the world's oldest football club, are doing a stadium redevelopment with their local rugby league team. So let's get everybody around the table.
Yeah.
Sounds good to me. Right. Okay. There's a few more because it's Saturday and obviously you've done with proud with the time. I appreciate you. Right. So John, three from me. Considering the impact that bigger crowds would have had on the local economy and stadium turnover levels alongside the boost in the borough's status would come with an EFL spot alongside comparable places like Bradford, Doncaster and Stockport, would you agree that the decision not to insist on the continuation of the club's sitting tenancy as part of the procurement exercise is a short-sighted as well as a heartbreaking move? I mean, we've kind of touched on this, but if you want to expand on this, go ahead.
I completely agree with the issues in terms of, Gateshead being in the football league, would increase the crowd, it would lift the profile of the town, it would have a positive economic impact, not least because of visiting supporters. I was last October, my birthday, 3rd of October, I was down in Mansfield and went to a local restaurant in Mansfield when it was right next to the ground, and it was huge crowd. That's visiting supporters that will bring money into the town. I agree with all of those points. The issue about, we've got to secure a new operator because I would love to sign a document and say, there you are, this is so important, We need this income into the town. We're committing Gateshead Council to £8.6 million cost over the next 10 years. Can't do it because the money doesn't exist. So therefore, we've got to get an external operator.
Understood. But if we come up with a viable community business model, say based on the Preston model, something like that, where the money goes round, that's a Labour council in Preston, isn't it? They've done really well there. Then if we can do that, then it's a completely different ask, as you've said, in terms of investment, in terms of the council potentially borrowing money, different ask, isn't it? And I think that's something people need to understand. We're in a, you know, it's a community offer, but run commercially, and the profits just go back into the community. That's what I'd like to see. Because you know it will generate, like it's the pound spent in the local area that just circulates, and it actually, I haven't got the figures to hand, but it has a massive impact locally, doesn't it?
I mean, the positive thing on this is that the council, you know, what, you know, people will disparage the council, but the council is in a strong place to make these sorts of things happen. For we own land,
yes.
If you can come up with a viable business model that works, local authorities can borrow money cheaper than anybody else. Okay, you know, if you and I went out and tried to borrow money, or even a private company tried to borrow money at the present time, I don't know what the commercial interest rates are, 7-9%, I don't know. Local government borrows money from the public works board. Okay, and I think the current rate is 3.5%. So we can invest, and then of course the council reaps the benefits of that increased income in terms of council tax, additional income coming into the council. It reduces the costs because people are less reliant on council services. So it's a really strong business model for councils to invest in those sorts of kind of projects.
Dead right, and that's where I see the action is here personally. You know, I mean, I know from working with funders love when councils talk like this, like Sport England's and all these type of places. So I think, you know, people have said, I will never get a stadium. I've disagreed the whole time just simply because I know how these mechanisms work. I think council's clearly on board. You've said so on camera. So, you know, let's take it for, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll do the last couple of questions from John and then let's just go and have a weekend and then let's just like pick this up on Monday. So, right. So your tweet from Sunday read, we can't agree a 10-year license till that procurement exercise is concluded. While the council statement later said the assurances include a 10-year agreement between the council and Gateshead Football Club. Can I ask you to explain which of these positions was correct and if they are both correct to explain the nuance?
Right. Okay. First of all, I wasn't expecting announcements by the Football League on Sunday morning or the National League.
I wasn't aware of that.
I knew what was going on. I knew that there were issues related to it, but I wasn't expecting the English Football League and the Northern League to dump all over Gateshead Council on Sunday morning saying it was our fault. Now, that's not entirely 100% accurate, okay? So I was reacting on Sunday morning and put out an initial tweet, myself personally, unsupervised and unadvised, which said the councils can't sign a 10-year licence, okay? Now, I think I should have put in the word unqualified 10-year license, okay? Because there was a proposal, okay? I was actually asked by the club to remove that tweet, because obviously the basis of our legal appeals to the league was that we have agreed a 10-year license. It has a necessary break clause in. So that was the, and then I was getting comments, of course, online saying, why has you deleted it? What's the conspiracy behind that one? That's the reason why.
Okay. Well, one of the reasons I want, like when John Eagle reached out for you to come on was, right, let's just like, I'll ask you directly and you can see on camera exactly what the crack is. And that's all, literally all this is. So that's your answer,
Cool. Yeah.
Happy with that? Okay. Right, so number three, in what way does an agreement include a break clause in the agreement to ensure that any new operator is able to negotiate new terms the club represents security of tenure?
Right. In terms, let's be absolutely blunt about this. The really, and I've said what I've said about the rules of the English Football League, you know, mitigating against, you know, small non-league community clubs. It's not a level playing field. It's an almost impossible qualification to qualify with a 10-year license. However, right, the Yes, the council has included a brick wall. Now, I'd be really blunt about that. That's for the council's protection. Yeah. That's for the council's protection. Yes, you know, it gives the opportunity for the club to negotiate a new agreement next year with the new operator, but that doesn't satisfy by this very, very strict wording of the English Football League's 10-year unqualified license agreement, okay? Mm-hmm. But the reason why we can't agree, you know, as I've said, absolutely confident we're a new operator, absolutely confident we will insist as a council, right, okay, that it's part of that, they sign an agreement with the football club. But in the unlikely event that we are facing next year or the year after, the worst possible decision, which is we cannot sustain the stadium, we can't get an outside operator, and we have to close it. We can't, we would have to buy up the football club, either sustain the £8.6 million deficit or buy the football club out of an agreement mm-hmm. that we had signed. Yeah,
I understand. And I'm going to do you justice here. I honestly, I've looked at it and I just think, like, what you can offer under austerity terms does not mesh with EFL rules, because yeah. you've got to put a caveat in. And like, I'll be honest with you, until I've like properly looked into the budget and stuff, I believe that at this point you can't do that. And that yeah. might piss fans off or whatever, but at the same time, that's evidence-based. So you can offer what you've offered based on budget. That's not good enough for the EFL. Fans quite rightly have pointed out the Coventry situation, who've been hobos, haven't had a ground, all the problems with like other operators of the grounds and that kind of thing. So I just wanted to, like, you know, in good faith, as we promised it would be, I believe that's the case. In good faith, you've also made a commitment that we'll pick this up on Monday and start exploring possibilities for land, new stadiums. That should hopefully cheer like fans up a bit. And for me, my perspective, the fans need to be absolutely involved in that. So, yeah. you know, I'll speak to the Gateshead Soul, and if any Soul yeah. People are listening now, get in touch and we'll try and work something okay. out. Martin, is there anything, like, I just want to give the floor to you for a couple of minutes and then we'll go on. Is there anything you want to say to Gateshead fans directly outside of these questions?
Yeah.
I mean, and actually, there yes. will be one more thing from me after that. But
okay,
go.
Right. Well, first thing is I recognise the absolute heartbreak of what has happened last weekend, okay? Particularly for the players and club officials who've been and worked so hard through this year. I've tried, you know, I think the council has been open and transparent in the way in which we, as the, we're not the football club, we are the owners of the stadium. We've tried to be open and transparent about the way these things have happened. I can pledge that we are determined to resolve this situation, and we want to work with the club and with the fans and everybody to make sure that this doesn't happen again, and that we do get to a position where the club can play for promotion next season.
Great. That's, I mean, I think that's what people want. And if there's a definite commitment to progress this, then I think that's, like, you know, we've moved forward in a good faith way. Just a couple of things. I mean, this hit national news, and obviously leader of Labour, Keir Starmer, said, and this is from Joshua Nickel at Joshua F. Nickel on Twitter. New Keir Starmer urges all parties to find a quick solution to Gateshead FC stadium issue. The EFL need to work together with the club and the council to find a route forward so that Gateshead fans can enjoy their well-earned place in the playoffs. Any reactions to what Keir Starmer said?
Yes, we should all work together. Yeah, I'm
great. And yeah, also Kate Osborne, one of the local MPs, she's written to you asking yeah. that you do everything, resolve the matters. Any updates there?
Yeah, I've got a copy of the letter that I've sent back to her. I can share it with you, Mike. Okay,
cool.
Which yeah. covers everything which I've just said today. All right.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. And obviously, I wanted to give you the opportunity to speak to the fans yeah. directly. I think conspiracy theories and all of that are not going to help with. At the end of yeah. the day, we all want the best for the borough, I would hope.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
let's get our heads together on Monday and right. get yourself off and enjoy your weekend. I'll do a summing okay. up after this. And right. yeah, we'll just take from there. But I do really do appreciate your time, Martin.
Well, thanks for giving me the
fact that you've faced fans directly, and there's, I tell you what, like, in my experience of working in this sector, there's not many who would. So I wanted to do you justice on that. If we're all going to agree to work together, I'm going to ask the fans, please let me draw a line under this and put all energies into getting a new stadium.
Okay, well, ask us to come back again, will you, mate?
I will get this, these elections and that out of the way. Let's exchange emails on Monday. I appreciate it's election week, so we're probably going to have to work around that. But let's get our heads together. I just, like I said, we both want to try and make this happen, I've heard. So let's do it.
I'll also send you a, I'll send you a copy of the letter, which I've got, which I sent to Kate Osborne. And I think there's also, have you seen a copy of the letter that we sent to we gave to the club that went to the English Football? Have you seen that letter?
I haven't. Send us everything you think that we need sight of, and I'll have a look.
All right. Well, I don't know if I've got a copy of that, but it might be Monday. I'll get you the letter.
That's no problem. I'll be honest with you. I'm going to sit around watching martial arts for the rest of the day, so I'll not be doing any work.
All right, take care. Thanks for your time.
Take care, mate. Bye-bye. All the best. All right, so that was Martin Gannon. As I said, I hope that shows people, right, because me and him are so politically different, you know, and I hope that shows people it's possible to have a conversation where you're not shouting and screaming and swearing at each other, you know. Yeah, I hope that shows that people who are politically different can work together, or at least make a commitment to work together to try and get things happening. Because look, at the end of the day, every single person who's watching or listening to this and who will watch or listen to this hopefully wants the best for Gateshead Football Club and by extension, Gateshead as a place. I know I do, and that's why I've done this on top of my usual work all week. And again, thanks everybody for tuning in. I'll be getting this uploaded and put out as a separate video. So if you want to watch it back, I know a few of you couldn't make this time. So let's see what it all brings from Monday. I'm going off to have a brew and walk me dogs. All the best, everybody. Take care now. Ta-da.